The passage reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 7,500 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Chile, Brazil, Mexico, Panama, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, India, Mongolia, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Kenya, Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, Gabon, Angola, Burundi, Rwanda, Nigeria, Tanzania, Botswana, Swaziland, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, Burkina Faso, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Netherlands, Russia, Belarus, Dagestan, Ukraine, Estonia, Kazakhstan, Sweden, Ireland, Greece, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and GCN viewers. This is the 15th session of Spiritual Love. A Korean saying goes, grind an axe to make it a needle. It means, if you keep on trying with patience, you can accomplish even a very difficult thing. How much time and effort would be needed to grind a thick axe into such a thin and sharp needle? Some may say, how much does a needle cost? I would rather sell the axe and then buy many needles. Why so much effort? But there is someone who goes through this kind of effort for you. It is our Father God. God keeps on grinding even a person who is as hard as steel. He endures with a person until he changes, even though it seems there is little chance for him to change. Matthew 12:20 says, a battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. To make each of us a true child of God, God is enduring with us again and again. Those who have come out as His true children understand this heart of God, and they love Him from the bottom of their hearts. The creatures, human beings, not knowing God the Creator, until now, since creation, so many of them have been cursing at God. But still, God endures until the end, and He has been bearing until today, until the Lord comes back. Because there are people who can be saved. Of course, there may be difficulties from time to time in the race of faith to be changed into God's true children. So I urge you to think of the love of God that is unchangingly waiting for you. If you think of that love and rejoice and give thanks, He will give you new strength. Last week, God told me to bear with the convulsions and things like that a little more, because there is the providence of God with His justice. And also, God gave the thorn to the Apostle Paul. And I have been enduring with a lot of things. And with convulsions also, God also told me to bear with convulsions. God also told me to bear with the financial problems. And when the time came, it was solved in a moment. At that time, I thought it was endless. But when the time came, God solved this problem in July, August, and September last year. I urge you not to give up in the middle, but keep on running your race towards heavenly kingdom until the end. Furthermore, I pray in the name of the Lord and you will accomplish true love and become a precious fruit of the love of God the Father. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is said that love does not take into account the wrong suffered. What is the wrong suffered? It is something evil. Anything that is not in agreement with God's will is evil. Then, let me explain in more detail what it is to take into account a wrong suffered. There are three general aspects, and I hope you will check yourself. If you find anything, I urge you to cast it off. If I personally tell you, "Oh, Deacon, you're so evil," if I say it to an evil, to an elder, "You're so evil," if I say to pastor, "You're so evil," if I say it to any member, "Why are you so evil?" then maybe you may be dumbfounded. You may wonder, why is he saying, "I'm so evil?" So through the message, I hope you will check whether you have anything evil in you. The first is your thought that you want something to go wrong with other people. I'm sure there are few who have this kind of thought. In case of students, so you want to become number one in your class, but there are two ahead of you. You are only number three in academic affairs. And maybe the third one may think, "Oh, I hope something goes wrong with them, so they will not be the number one and number two." Maybe even in your business, you have a neighbor who is more prosperous than you, and you want that person to have problems. For example, let us say you had a quarrel with somebody. Then you hate him so much that you think like, "I wish he would trip and fall down." In the case of a broadcasting incident in 99, since then, that particular broadcasting company is being attacked by many newspapers many times a year by other press because they are violating the law. So for many years, I have never read such an article before you. I don't want to make it known. And because I don't want them to go wrong, I want them to repent and turn back. And I want them to be unbiased, proper broadcasting. I don't want anything to go wrong with them. I don't want them to close down or anything. So I wish you trip and fall down. How evil a thought this is. Have you ever had such a thought? Also, let's say you didn't have a good relationship with a neighbor and something bad happened to him. Then you think, "Good for him," or "I knew it would happen." If you have true love in you, you will never think such an evil thing. If your own child or your beloved one has a problem, will you think something like this? You will never think such an evil thing. Would you want your dear wife or husband to be sick or to get into an accident? You would always want your dear wife or husband to be always healthy and free of accidents. You always want your parents and children to be safe all the time if you love them. Because we don't have love in our heart, we want something to go wrong with others, and we rejoice with other people's unhappiness. Also, we want to know the iniquities or weak points of other people and to spread it. Some people have such great desire. So if anybody says anything, they try to listen so much. If they close the door and talk inside the door, they put their ear on the door and they try to listen. So what do they do with what they hear? If they know the secret, what is the reason? Because they want to spread it. They want to spread it to other people. So we want to know the iniquities or weak points of other people and spread it. It is an evil heart. Suppose you went to a meeting and somebody there was saying something bad about another person. If you are interested in paying attention to such conversation, then you ought to check your heart. When somebody is slandering other people, you shouldn't want to listen. You don't want to listen. You don't want to know. That is why in 98 and 99, there are many people who are still under trials. God already told us many times not to see or hear or talk about anything bad. But many people try to see and hear and read and know. If they came to know those things, then bad thoughts would be planted in them. And from time to time, they are reminded of those bad things. It is the work of Satan. So they came to think about so many ridiculous things. Finally, they got sick. They got diseases because they judged and condemned. If they came to know and see and hear and came to know something, they would judge and condemn. If somebody was slandering your parents, would you want to keep on listening to it? You wouldn't want to listen. Not only not listening, but you'd rebuke them so hard so they will never talk about it. It's same when you when other people slander your children or slander your own wife or husband, you'd tell them to stop it right away. Of course, there are times and cases where you have to listen because you need to know the facts about a person's situation. But the reason people tend to be interested in such things is usually because they have the desire to slander and gossip about others. If you don't have such desire, you wouldn't want to listen. You don't want to hear other people slandering others. You don't want to spread, so you don't want to know in the first place. But Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." He who conceals a transgression seeks love. If you really love somebody, you will cover his fault. But he who repeats a matter one time, two times, and repeats to other people, then separates intimate friends. Those who are good and have love in their heart will try to cover the fault of others. Would you want to hear and know something? If you are good, if you have that kind of heart, it is such an evil heart. So what should you do? You have to pull it out from the root. Until it is pulled out, whether you fast or pray all night, to pull it out completely so your heart will be filled with goodness. Also, if we have spiritual love, we will not be jealous or envious when others are well off. There is a Korean saying that goes, if your cousin buys land, you get a stomachache. When your cousin is prosperous, when his shop is doing well, your neighboring shop is doing well, do you get jealous? Do you get stomachache? Then you have to repent and pull that evil heart. Suppose there's a same kind of shop near you. You're doing a beauty parlor, beauty shop, and there is another beauty shop, and there are more customers in that shop, in that beauty parlor. So would you get a stomachache if you have that kind of heart? That is why your shop is not prosperous. How can God bless you? So what do you have to do? There's no reason to be jealous. You celebrate with him. You rejoice with him. But then you try to learn why the shop is doing well. So if you have less skills, you refine your skills more. Or if that environment and the interior is clean and good, then you follow. You try to fix what is wrong with you. So you still give thanks for that other shop is doing well. So if this, their service is good, then you realize, then so you, your employees and yourself, you improve your service. So you develop yourself, improve yourself. Then God will help you, so you'll be blessed. Your cousin bought a piece of land. Isn't it a wonderful occasion? If your cousin buys land and you love your cousin, then you should be delighted about it. But because we don't have love, but have envy instead, we get a stomachache. We don't like the fact that other people are better off than we are. The students on the second floor, if other students are well doing better in your academics, if you are jealous, then it's evil heart, right? If you have this kind of evil heart, please pull it out so that you can excel in studies. If you wish others to not do well, you should want them to study, do well, and you should do better. But if we have spiritual love, we want others to be well off and to be loved. The will of our Lord is to love even our enemies. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. And in your Christian life, you always listen to the truth. Do you bless those who persecute you? You should have that kind of love. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not curse. And especially in case of your family members, your husband or wife, or only because of some persecution, you don't bless, but you don't love them. So how evil your heart is. And you just shed tears and pray to God, oh, God, help me. Please make my husband not persecute me. Then will your answer, will your prayer be answered? You have to act in the truth. Without acting in the truth, if you pray, your prayer cannot be answered. God says if you harbor evil in your heart in your prayer, God will not answer. So because you are praying with evil in your heart, your prayer cannot be answered. So if anybody comes to me like that, I answer, please go into sanctification quickly. Please have goodness quickly. Then the problems will be solved. When I tell you such a thing, they should say, accept it with amen joyfully. But they don't. That kind of people, they don't even accept it. I'm telling them the way to solve the problem, so they should accept it with amen and go into spirit quickly so that they will be out of persecution, but they don't even say amen. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you will only desire for others to be well off and bless them, even though they are doing evil to you, so that you will receive greater blessings. The second aspect is the thought of judging and condemning others. For example, suppose you saw another believer going into a place where believers shouldn't be going. Then what kind of thoughts would you have? How can he do that? You may have negative opinion of him. Or you may wonder, why would he go in such a place? But then you change your thoughts and think that he must have a reason to do it. But if you have spiritual love completely in your heart, you won't have any kind of the evil thoughts in the first place. Even if you heard something that is not good, you wouldn't accept it judgingly. First, you'd think in the best way possible. Then until you check what really happened, you wouldn't judge or condemn any person. Until you check it yourself, you never judge or condemn. Also, if you heard what you shouldn't be hearing, you have to repent of it. In most cases, when parents hear some bad things about their children, how do they react? They don't easily accept it and insist that their children wouldn't do such things. They stole something. The teacher knows. the pastor knows. So they deliver the message to their parents. Also, the security team lets the parents know. Then they should be thankful. They accept it. But they say, oh, my child will never do that. He's such a good boy. He never tells a lie. They just react in this way. Then the boy will become more and more, worse and worse. In the same way, if you really love somebody, you will try to think of him in the best way possible. But today, we find that people think evil of others and say bad things about them so easily. They slander and even criticize, and they think it's normal. It is not done only in personal relationships, but those who are in public positions also do the same. Even among the believers, there are many who easily judge and condemn and criticize others. They don't even try to see the whole picture as to what really happened. In our church also, our church is getting older. So it is now in the youth, in the middle of the youth. It is 26 years now. So there are some who go into politics. There are some. We have five branch office, head of branch office of banks. Also, we have a man who is learning for running for the general election. We have somebody who is going into the cabinet. And so whether they go into the cabinet or if they do, I think they will do rightly in the sight of God in a proper way. Then God will protect them all the time. And God will put them higher in the position. Furthermore, they don't judge with the word of God, but only with their own standards. But what is the good will of God? James 4:12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? God tells us that to judge our neighbor is evil. Suppose someone clearly did something wrong. In this situation, to a person who has spiritual love, it is not important whether that person is right or wrong in what they did. He'll just think of what is really beneficial for that person. He just wants the other person's soul to be prosperous and for him to be loved by God. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Of course, the more perfect love becomes, it can not only cover the transgression, but it can also help the other person to be able to repent. We should also be able to teach the truth and touch that person's heart, so that he can go to the right way and change himself. But if we have perfect spiritual love, we don't have to try to look at the person with goodness. We naturally love even a person with many transgressions. We just want to trust him and commend him. If we do not have any thought of judging or condemning others, we'll be happy with whomever we meet. Because you don't judge and condemn. Even if others have faults and transgressions, iniquities, if you have love, you will never hate them. You'll not see their faults. So because you have such a heart, even though others look at you with a kind of a negative way, you will not think like anything like, oh, he will talk badly about me because his eyes, when he looks at me, is so strange. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will all accomplish spiritual love quickly so that you will enjoy the happiness of the heavenly kingdom every day. The third aspect is all the thoughts that are not in agreement with the will of God. Anything that is not in agreement with the will of God, according to the Word of God, is evil. Not only having some evil thoughts about others, but also having any thought that does not agree with the will of God is evil thought. In the world, people who live by moral standards and according to conscience are said to be living in goodness. But even morality and conscience have many things that are contrary to God's word. Furthermore, some things are completely the opposite of God's word. Only the word of God can be the absolute standard of goodness. God is goodness itself and love itself. That truth set by God can be the absolute standard of goodness. As the first part of Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, there are so many witnesses to testify to this fact. So many people testify to their blessings that they received and to the good fruits they bear when they live by the word of God. The world, in this world, they say it is truth, but it's not truth, and so many things change after time in the world. But the word of God never changes forever because it is true. Last time, I heard that the drama, Daejanggeum, was very popular in China. But now in China, how do they treat that drama? People say it is just a little time later, they say, don't watch it because there are many things, there are wrong things. They don't like it anymore. Because they say contents are not right. And likewise, anything that does not agree with the Word of God, the only absolute standard of goodness is evil. It's because anything that does not agree with the will of God is sin. Sin is lawlessness, which means violation of the law of God. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Brothers and sisters, here, let me explain about sin and evil in a little more detail. If you properly understand these spiritual concepts, it will be helpful for you in becoming sanctified. Even after leading a good Christian, for a long time, if you don't understand these points, you cannot really understand the Bible, no matter how many times you read it. Generally, sin and evil are both untruth, which is against the word of God, the truth. Sin is untruth. Evil is untruth. They are both darkness, the opposite of God, who is the light. But in more detail, they are different from each other. To compare these two with a tree, evil is like the root that is in the ground and is not visible, and sin is like the branches, leaves, and fruits. A tree can exist only with its root. Without a root, a tree cannot have branches, leaves, or fruits. Likewise, sin is realized because of evil. Because a man has evil, so the evil, there is, of course there is a root, but because it is in the ground, we cannot see it. It's the same with the evil. But sin is an outcome, so we can see it. Because a man has evil, he commits sins. If you don't have any evil, you will never sin. You will never commit lawlessness. You will just keep all the law of country also, so you will never be accused or anything. Evil is a nature that is in one's heart. It is the nature that is against goodness, love, and truth of God. When this evil is realized in a specific form, it is referred to as sin. Luke 6:45 says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. The more evil he has stored, he will bring forth more evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Also, it comes out as action. Suppose a person is saying something that is hurting someone else whom he hates. This is when the evil in his heart is realized as hatred and evil words, which are specific sins. A good man will never say a hurting word. He will never say an evil word. He will say only good words, because he will never hurt the feelings of other people. Also, evil is any concept that expresses anything and any condition that is against God. For example, when we see a person who commits a sin, he is said to be evil. But even if he does not commit a sin, if he has the desire to commit sins, we also say he is evil. When this evil is realized in a specific form, it is sin. Do you understand? You have evil in your heart, but it's not visible. When it is realized in specific form, when it comes out as outcome is sin. Sin is to violate the law of God, so we call it lawlessness. For example, God's word tells us to love. And if we hate, it is to commit a sin called hatred. God tells us to keep the Sabbath holy, and if we violate the Sabbath, it is also a sin. Especially, this is one of the most important things. It is in the Ten Commandments, so if we violate it, it is a sin. In the case of the fire in Icheon, there was one son who overslept and didn't go to work and avoided the tragic accident. Let me read out his testimony. 1-4 Parish, Deacon Kim Sang-yuk. He has been attending church for more than 2 years. He had the desire to give proper tithes, but because of financial difficulties, he couldn't give tithes. And after the visiting from 2008, he began to offer tithes. When I was reading it, I had goosebumps. What if he didn't give the tithes? He wouldn't have been moved in his heart. It would have been difficult for him to avoid this kind of tragedy. And then he was filled with the joy and thanks of being able to give proper tithes. And sometimes he worked in Icheon from time to time, but he was told to come from January 7th, Monday. And on that specific day, on the day of fire, he overslept and he couldn't go. And watching the news of the fire of the fire in Icheon, he thanked God and he gave all glory to Him who opened the way to avoid that fire within the space of the shepherd. So he, through a visit of a pastor, he began to offer tithes. How thankful it is. Otherwise, he may not have been protected by God, because God moved it in such a way. He overslept and he couldn't go, and he could avoid such a big tragedy. Likewise, a sin is realized and specified according to the standard called the Word of God, which is the commandment. Thus, sin can be also, even in the country, if there is no law, there is no sin. There can be no sin. There may be some immoral things. But because there is no law about that, we cannot punish anybody. Of course, we can see that it is evil and it is sin, but if there is no law about that, if there is no law to control that sin, it can not be punished because there is no law. So sin is lawlessness, violating the law. Thus, sin can be categorized into specific things of the flesh, things of the flesh and works of the flesh, such as hatred, envy, jealousy, adultery, etc., based on the word of God, namely the commandments. Just to talk about the sins or crimes of this world, according to against whom they commit the crime, it can be against a nation, the public, or an individual. Also, the magnitude of the crime varies. But even though one has evil in his heart, it is not definite that he will commit sins. If he casts off sins to some extent, he won't commit any sin even though he has some evil in his heart. At this stage, he may just be satisfied considering what he has accomplished to that extent toward sanctification. But to become completely sanctified, we have to get rid of the sinful natures deep inside our heart and even the evil that has been present in our nature since birth. God is perfect. He has no blemish or spot. So God is, even though we do not commit sins, anything that is not perfect is a form of evil in the sight of God. So that is why he tells us to cast off all forms of evil. That is why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil, whether big or small, every form of evil we have to cast off. Brothers and sisters, let's say there's a waste from flies. Is it waste or not? It is still waste. It is still body waste. It's the same with sins. Even if it is small, sin is sin. So we have to cast off even forms of it. I got rid of sins this much. I read one letter for you. The pastor in the United States, he said, oh, this much is okay. He has accumulated so many sins, thinking, oh, this much is okay. So he has to repent of them completely later to be healed of his sickness completely. To the extent he repented, his pain was gone. But especially as a pastor, as a servant of God, he has accumulated so many sins. That's why he has to repent. But fortunately, he has a good wife. The wife has good faith. And the wife says, you can never go to hospital. You have to repent and get healed by faith. And even in severe pain, he didn't go to hospital. And also, as the wife, because he couldn't move as he wanted, he had to follow what his wife instructed him to do. And also, in the message of the cross, the wife played the cassette tape of the message of the cross, one particular part, maybe about sin and evil. So he had to listen to it for the whole day, and finally he came to repent thoroughly, shedding his tears and runny nose. After that, his pain was gone. Only when we completely cast off all forms of evil and accomplish spirit and whole spirit can we say we are fully sanctified. Brothers and sisters, above all, God is love. Basically, God's commandments can be condensed into love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. This, to believe in Jesus Christ, is not just, oh, He is the Savior. That is only a piece of knowledge. You have to believe in heart. Then you will keep the commandments. That is faith. So to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us, love your enemy. If we have this kind of love, we can keep all God's commandments. If we have the heart to love even our enemies, it means we can keep all the commandments in 66 books of the Bible. There's nothing we cannot keep. So love contains all commandments. Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. So it doesn't mean he will do evil to a very far away people. He will love everybody. That is why love is the fulfillment of the law. If we have this love, we can keep all 66 books of the Bible. Namely, it is evil and lawlessness not to love. Therefore, to check whether we are taking into account what wrong suffered, we can think of how much love we have in us. To the extent that we love God and other souls, we will not take into account wrong suffered. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, then, how can we cast off forms of evil? To cast off evil, we must not even think of evil things. It sounds easy. You just don't think of evil things. But it is reminded, you are reminded of evil things more and more in the first and second levels of faith. If you try not to think of it, you are reminded of it more. So it tortures you. It tortures your mind. Also, we must not see or hear any evil thing. So in the level of a new believer, they say, oh, I try not to think of it, but when I try, I'm reminded of it even more. So what should I do? So we must not see or hear it. We can do this. Being reminded of evil things, maybe you cannot help it, but not seeing, you can just not see. You can just stop seeing or hearing it. You just don't hear it. So you don't just speak. It is up to you whether you speak it or not. So in case of thought, you may not be able to help it because you are reminded of it. But in case of seeing, hearing, and speaking, you can control yourself. Even if we happen to see or hear, we should not try to remember or think about it again. We must not try to remember it. Obviously, we should never intentionally think of it or remember it. Furthermore, we should cast off even the thoughts that flash through our mind momentarily. In the morning, when there was one student who received prayer, he wanted to study better. He wanted to concentrate. But he loves worldly things so much. He sees what he shouldn't see, useless things, but still he wants to study hard. So I said, to study well, you shouldn't see what you shouldn't see, and you shouldn't hear what you shouldn't hear. So you have to cut out all those things that you love in the world. To the extent you cut out the worldly things, you will have the desire to study well, because the duty of a student is to study. It is a must. So you also have to study and you have to have the knowledge. So if you don't see those things, if you don't do what you are not supposed to do, then to that extent, you have the desire to study harder. So you just stop seeing. You can do it. Internet or other things. What is not beneficial You can just stop seeing them. Everything you do under the sun is meaningless, so you can just stop thinking meaningless things. But study you have to do. So you will have the desire to study, and you will have your idle thoughts. Your daydreaming will be gone, and other daydreaming and other thoughts are gone. You can concentrate with a boyfriend or girlfriend or doing internet and playing around with the friends, and because they are captured by those thoughts, they cannot study. Maybe they sit at the desk for 10 hours. So whatever they studied is not planted in them deeply. They forget easily. If they cut out all those things, they can concentrate in their studies, so because they don't have any idle thoughts. So what they study will be planted deep inside, so they will not forget easily. That way they can study well. Students, so we should cast off even the thoughts that flash through our mind momentarily. But some say, oh, I try to forget, but I'm reminded more. That's why I'm saying, don't see, don't hear anything. You keep on seeing and hearing, and you keep on loving the world. Still, you say, oh, I try not to think. That's why you are reminded even more. If you don't see, don't hear, don't speak, and cut out the worldly things, then those thoughts will go away. So you have to have the deed. You have to cut out the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. In the first and second levels of faith, you now understand, right? Oh, I try not to think, but I'm reminded even more. Those who have more thoughts, sometimes if they have too many thoughts, they become focusless. Sometimes they fall down because they have too many thoughts. So in that case, they doze off very easily also because they have too many thoughts. He doesn't even realize. He just falls asleep. So we have to get rid of these useless thoughts. They make us weak. Second John chapter 1 verse 10 and 11 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, namely the teaching of the Christ, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. It is that God is advising us to avoid evil and not accept it. It's because a man of flesh can be easily stained by evil. Men inherit sinful natures from their parents. While living in this world, people come in contact with so many untruths. Based on this sinful nature and untruths, a person develops his personal character or self. A Christian life is to cast off these sinful natures and untruths from the moment we accept the Lord. Just attending church, they seem to be praying and praising and giving tithes, but that is also kind of a Christian life. But the most important thing is to cast off the sinful natures from your heart. That is why we listen to the Word of God, receive grace, and realize the will of God. And cast off, pull out the evil natures from us, and we do what we are supposed to do. This is the Christian life. To cast off the sinful nature and the untruths, we need a great deal of patience and effort. Because we are living in this world, we are more familiar with untruth rather than the truth, and with fleshly things rather than spiritual things. So it is relatively easier to accept untruth and put it in us than it is to cast it off. For example, it is easy to stain a white dress with black ink, but it is very difficult to remove the stain and make it completely white again. It is easy to stain it, but to remove it, it is very difficult. If you don't want to say amen, please do an experiment at home. Maybe on the white dress. Please just put the ballpoint pen on the white dress. Then it'll spread very quickly. Even if you wash it, you cannot wash it very quickly. It is a moment to be stained, but it takes a long time to wash it. Also, even though it looks like a very small evil, it can develop into big evil in a moment. Just as Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough, a little evil can spread to the whole church. Therefore, we have to be cautious, even about a little bit of evil. So if anything is against the law of God, I warn them. I took caution. If I allow anything, then it will spread so quickly. So that is why we don't allow any kind of sales. Even the sheep and cattle, herd, when they were sold in the temple of God, our Lord was so angry with them and drove them out. And how can selling and buying allowed in the church? So since the opening, we don't allow any kind of anything like that. So in the opening, at the time of opening, there was another women's mission leader, and she was telling me, oh, let us have a bazaar, for a charitable bazaar, so we can have a we can add it to the church finance also for benefit if we cannot have any kind of buying or selling. Because, you know, we in the women's mission never suggests anything like that. They wanted to buy from wholesale market something, and then they wanted to have some profit to add to the church finance, but we didn't allow. Prohibited. To be able to not think of evil, but cast it off completely, we have to hate it. We have to hate evil. First part of Psalm 97, verse 10 says, hate evil, you who love the Lord. You who love the Lord, you have to hate evil. You obviously, naturally, hate evil. So you can cast off things and you will not do the things that God tells us not to do. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We will obviously fear and revere God, and to fear the Lord is to hate evil, so you can cast off evil. If you passionately love somebody, you will like what that person likes, and you will dislike what that person dislikes. If a husband and wife love each other so much, oh, I cannot live with my husband, I cannot live with my wife. Let's say they love each other so much, then their opinions will be in agreement very well. Suppose the husband likes salty food, but the wife doesn't like it. Will she keep on insisting? Salty food is not good for health, so you have to follow me. She cannot say that because she loves him so much. She will want to follow her husband's taste, even though she likes food that is not salty, with less salt. If the husband also loves his wife so much, he likes much salt, but his wife doesn't like much salt, so he will they'll take turns, because husband will say, I love you. I will also reduce the salt in my food. If they can step back from each other, both of them step back, then they will have the agreement. So if they love each other, they will have they'll have agreement in everything. They won't say, oh, we personalities, personality problem or anything like that. Then which couple can be married with a perfect match? It can never happen. If you have the same personality, then it's not good. If you have introversive personality, both of them have introversive personality. They won't talk to each other. They will just read newspaper. One person was telling me his father, her father was so introversive, so he wouldn't talk to his wife or he wouldn't talk to his children. Only after he drank, he would talk. That's why he was drinking all the time. For his whole life, he was drinking. Without alcohol, he couldn't talk to the family members. Let's say the husband is very rough, and also the wife is rough. Then they will have fights all the time. If the personalities are same, then it's not good. The personalities should be different and they should come to an unison. Of course, if both of them are gentle, then it's good. But if your personalities are different, then you have to give in and submit, and you have to have an agreement. If any husband says, I am the head of the family and you have to listen to me, and which wife will like it? Wife wants to say the same thing. If you love me, you will do what I want. She may also say it. So if you passionately love somebody, you will like what that person likes and you will dislike what that person dislikes. It's the same with God's word. Because God is, because you love God, you will keep His commandments. When God's children who have received the Holy Spirit commit sins, the Holy Spirit groans in them, so in their heart they feel afflicted. Then they realize that God hates those things they did, and they try not to commit sins again. About this, on 31st, we have a seminar for small group leaders. I'll explain to you in more detail. Also, as they love God more deeply, they would want to resemble God completely and go nearer to Him. They try to cast off even little forms of evil and not accept any more evil. Evil is such a useless thing. Proverbs 22:8 says, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity. The outcome will be a disaster. Trials and tests and disasters and diseases and failure in business and workplace. As said, if we sow evil, we'll reap trouble. Diseases may come on us or on our children, or we may face accidents. We may live in sorrow due to poverty and family problems. All these problems, after all, come from evil. Of course, it is just as the spiritual law, you will reap what you sow. If you sow good, you will reap good fruits. If you sow evil, you will reap evil fruits. If you sow beans, you will reap beans. If you sow sesame, you will reap sesame. If you sow rice, you will get rice. If you sow watermelon seed, then you will get watermelon. If you sow a lot, you will reap a lot. If you sow little, you will reap little. And if you know this rule, this law, men's mission members, you must have become rich already. But many of you don't have the enough faith. You cannot become really rich. you see the reality and you cannot overcome the reality with faith. If you just have great faith, then you will soon receive great blessings. But because you don't have that faith, you cannot do it. So we reap what we sow. Of course, the troubles may not appear immediately before our eyes. In this case, when the evil is piled up to a certain extent, it may even be afflicted on our children later. One son's family members came to meet me, and a part of his there were more than 20 family members, and if everybody came, it would have been more. And among them, I asked them to raise hands if anybody is attending this church for more than a year. Then there was none, only one, the son. It means everybody is a new believer there. And that son, he received he went through many kinds of trials in the sight of God. And it was to cast off evil from him. And he kept on casting off. He's still in the process. But his vessel is great. His body is small, but he sows greatly. Even though he has so many things, he has so much debt, he has great vessel, and he sows very greatly. And since last year also, he sowed so much. Even though he was in difficulty, he still has debt, and he didn't have so much income. But as he was moved in his heart, he sowed even $100,000 once. And today, already he evangelized many most parts of his family members. Because he is prosperous, he is doing something well, his family members would be evangelized. If he was still in a difficult situation, they wouldn't have been evangelized. So he was telling me in January he would give a great amount of tithe because he was receiving blessings. So since last year he was receiving blessings, and this year he's receiving even more. So he received great blessings this year, and January also he was telling me that his tithe would be so much. So God's word is absolute. According to your faith, according to your faith, how big your vessel is, God is searching for these people with good faith and big vessels so God can bless them abundantly, so they can spend for missionary works and charitable works. Because the worldly people do not understand this kind of rule, they do many evil things in everything. For example, they consider it normal to take revenge against those who did harm to them. But Proverbs 20:22 says, "Do not say, 'I will recompense evil.' Wait for the Lord, and He will save you." Do not try to take revenge. Do not try to pay back evil. But as you listen to the message, how about you? Is there anybody who is free from all these things? Of course, men of spirit will be free, those who are very close to spirit. But most of you have something. If somebody does evil to you, then you have the heart to take revenge. But the Word of God says, "Do not say, 'I will recompense evil.' Do not think such a way, but wait for the Lord. Just leave it to God, and He will save you." God will take care of everything. God controls the life, death, and fortune and misfortune of human history according to His justice. Therefore, if we do the good according to the Word of God, we will definitely reap fruits of goodness. It is just as promised in Exodus 26, which says, "But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." To those who love me and keep my commandments. I urge you to always accumulate goodness in you every day, in your everyday life, so that you will always be healthy, receive financial blessings, and live in the hope of heaven, peace and joy. So God's word is very different from the common sense or knowledge of the worldly people. Most of it is not in agreement. People think they will have to have more desire, and they try to collect. They can collect it for some time, but when it is gone, it can be gone anytime. If they get sick, or if they have any troubles, if they face any disasters, or family members have problems, they just think of collecting. But God's word says, tells us to cast off desire, not to seek our own benefit. So in reality, maybe nothing is seen in reality, but if we obey, keep on obeying the word of God, it'll be done. When we serve, we'll be served. When we humble ourselves, we'll be lifted high. And when we die for the truth, for the Lord, we'll live. We can see that the opposite will happen. If we sow much, we may think we'll become poor, but we'll rather be richer. Because I've kept so, I have kept these words of God so accurately, so strictly. So I gave up everything and gained 100 times more health and family members, fame and authority to control over the enemy, devil, and Satan. God gave me the most of it. According to the word, abundantly, because I acted abundantly, God gave me abundantly. To cast off evil and to keep ourselves from evil, we have to hate evil. Please keep it in mind. We have to hate it so we can cast it off. And on top of that, we have to have two things in providence all the time. They are the Word of God and prayer. Without Word of God and prayer, it is useless. Our souls cannot prosper. We cannot be reborn. We always have to have Word of God and prayer. When we meditate on the Word of God day and night, we can drive away evil thoughts and have spiritual and good thoughts. We can understand the methods as to what kind of act is act of true love. There are many things in the world that I cannot understand. Maybe when I was not in the truth, I could understand, but since I came to understand the truth, there are many oxymorons, and there are many things that I don't understand. Before, they said, if you write your name with a red pen, it is death, and it is unfortunate, so you shouldn't write your names with red pen. It is unfortunate. You heard something like that, right? Most of you say, most people say so. But why do they use seal? Is red. Your name will be sealed in red. The seal is red. So this is an oxymoron. There are so many things like this. There are many other things. When I think about it with the truth, people say you will die quickly if you write your name with red. But since I came to know the truth, why do they say you cannot write your name with the red, but so I sometimes just write, sign my name with red color. In the truth, there is no contradiction. Everything is true. We can absolutely believe the truth because it never changes. Even after a long, long time, the truth never changes. Also, as we pray, when we meditate on the word even more deeply so that we can realize the evil in our words and deeds. When we pray fervently with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can roll over and cast off evil in our heart. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you will quickly cast off evil with the word of God in prayer, so that your thoughts and words will be full of only love. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another." So love is a good thing. But please do not have fleshly love, but only spiritual love. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. What kinds of problems do you have in your life? After all, the key to solve all problems is love. I hope you will love God and people around you more diligently. Also, the flock that is entrusted to you, you have the duty to guide them to heavenly kingdom. So you have to love them, and you have to save them. If you don't love them, you will not visit them often. You will just leave them, even if they don't come to church. If they don't accept you with love, you don't have to. They say, "Oh, you don't have to come. Oh, I'm born Christian. You don't have to come." Then you have discomfort, and you just come. You don't have the service. You still have to have the visiting service, and you have to pray for them, and you have to embrace them with love. When we first love our brothers and forgive their transgressions, God will also forgive a multitude of sins of others, ours. He will also solve most of the problems that are caused by our sins. You already know what love is and what it is to love. After the reorganizing of the parishes, many pastors are very happy when Pastor Jo Su-yeol, or another great parish pastor, he was telling me, after this reorganization, it's so good. One great parish pastor was telling me. He says it's so good. A man of flesh will not like it. You know, the parish pastor who used to be under him, that person became went higher than him, but he still likes it because it's the organization given by God. It is true and it is really good. It is good for the taking care of the souls. So also we can visit all family members, all families, newcomers and everybody. I urge you to more diligently love from now. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be nearer day by day to the peace and blessing that God of love is giving to us. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become faith and life. Father, bless them. Let us have a perfect and spiritual love that God wants. We listened to the message. Let us realize whether we have evil in us. Love does not take into wrong suffered. We don't want others to go wrong. We don't want to reveal other people's faults. We don't become jealous when others are better off. We don't judge or condemn others. When we hear other people's slanders, we don't listen to them. We don't pay attention to them. We don't easily judge or condemn. We don't have any thought that is against the will of God. Any thought that is against the will of God is evil. We'll cast off even the all forms of evil. We have to hate evil to cast off evil. We have to have word of God and prayer in provision all the time. The key to solve all problems is love. Let us love God, love our neighbors, and get closer to God every day. Lord, thank you. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. Please listen to the prayer for the desires of your hearts. Hallelujah, Father God, lay your hands on them. Show your work transcending time and space. All branch church, local sanctuary members, all those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, all GCN viewers, all pastors, missionaries, and members in other countries, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the Most High part of creation. Give them spiritual and physical health. Give them spiritual and physical health. Light come. Enemy devil and Satan, loosen the chains of injustice and go away. Light come. Father, thank you. Heal all the internal diseases, skin diseases. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and cleanse them. And let them see well, let them hear well, let them speak well. And loosen all the paralysis, last stage, third stage cancer, pneumonia, all lung diseases. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse them. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Be cleansed. Father, show your work. Burn all kinds of diseases. High blood pressure, diabetes, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, light come. Father, give them proper, normal blood pressure. All joints, nerves, and bones, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and make them perfect. Father, thank you. Give them prosperity throughout the week. Protect them in all respects. Give them peace. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.